Alright, so we are episode 15?
Yeah, because we deleted episode 15. Wait.
No.
Are we 16?
We're 16, because we
times two.
16 part two.
Well, if you're new to the Rare Dads podcast, you'll just see episode 16. But if you're an avid listener, you would have heard a very terrible recording that I deleted. After talking to Greg, I'm like, if you're new here, this is the same problem. If you're new here, me talking about this stuff is putting you off. You want to get to the steak and eggs.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you like the...
Breadsticks.
No, worse than that. I'm giving you Brussels sprouts and right. beans.
I do have to say really quickly though, there was a massive amount of irony when we had that discussion, because I jumped in and looked at the stats for downloads on the day, and the downloads for that day on that on that particular episode were the highest by double.
Really?
Than we've ever had.
So that just, okay, let's break me down psychologically. I just need to, yeah, it's bad, because I have the keys to the car, as you do.
Yeah.
And at times I just want to trade the car in and buy a new one. Okay, well, lesson learned.
But I think the important thing is that the fact that we're even able to acknowledge it is... just testament to the fact that around here there's no surprises. It really is what you see is what you get.
No, it really is.
What you hear is what you get.
In fact, it really is so much what you see, what you get, that Greg and I, we just kind of, I won't say hired, but we teamed up with a couple interns.
Yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
come and help us on this journey. Now, we'd probably just made more work for ourselves in terms of, like, organising everything. But
well, I think initially.
But that's how everything starts. Bro, come do these Rat Dad podcasts with me, and in a couple years, it'll be full-time work, and we're like 5 years in.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I like watching the iceberg form. Do I?
I don't know, but I want you
should
to
I?
Break,
should
that, break that down for me another day.
All right. Earlier last week, because I'm guessing this won't go out for a couple of days, we had the pleasure of goobering Dr. Paul Wood from Auckland Airport through to his task for the day in town, and we were able to spend 15-20 minutes with him just unpacking I guess some of his views of the world. And he was talking about one thing that us dads can do today, right now, that can help with just kind of better understanding the world and trying to get a bit more of awareness of yourself and how you react in certain situations and all the rest of it. He talked about the first thing that we could do would be to begin to build some new emotional vocabulary today.
So we thought we'd have a podcast where we just kind of try and break down what that means to us.
Yeah.
Because it makes... The funny thing about when he says that is I know exactly what he means.
Yeah.
But it's a bit challenging to know what to do with that. You know, how I interpreted it was I need to work out the words that talk about feelings.
Yep.
The describing words for feelings and unhappiness, not just happiness, you know, like happiness. Yep. we have lots of versions of that. We have the thumbs up emoji, we have a smiley emoji, you know, we have words like I'm doing great, awesome, super, choice.
Yeah.
But if you need help and you're texting a mate, what else is there than bro, I need help?
Yeah.
And so that's how I kind of started thinking about, well, I need to critically think about the language of what does it look like to speak a little bit more emotionally. But just putting a pin in that, I reckon I do. Like, I was talking to a mate the other day who I haven't seen for a couple years.
Yep.
And he was saying, how's new baby? And I'm like, oh, you know, she's awesome, but you know, she wakes up heaps and she cries heaps. However, it's a good stress to have, you know. And I started talking like this, and he's like, why are you talking so philosophical? I'm like, I'm not. But I think what he was picking up on as I was trying to articulate, it's more than just the crying baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a stress for a parent, but I had broke it down so far where I said to myself, there's going to be stress, so acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that stress than the stress of, say, worrying about likes or worrying about, you know, my job.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't worry about those things. I'm just saying, it, for me, it packed it up in the right order.
Yeah. And I think as you immerse yourself in that idea, it becomes easier and easier and easier. The more you have to do it, the better and the more worked out that muscle becomes. Mm. And I guess it becomes a bit more straightforward. I mean, I think of myself and I go, I'm the same. I feel like I'm reasonably articulate when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I do think of the times that it's really hard, like especially speaking about your feelings to those people that you love. And it's not that there's an absence of understanding your feelings and what you're feeling and how you're feeling, but I think there is often a disconnect between how I communicate. I can almost communicate how I'm feeling at a really dynamic level to a complete stranger far better than I can do to my own wife sometimes.
Right.
And I think what that is because there's these layers of complexity that come in, this idea that if I say this, this is what the response is going to be.
Mm.
And if I say this, this is what the response is going to be. And so often the default mechanism is just to go, just going to shut down. I'm not going to say anything at all. Not because I'm unaware of what I'm feeling, but I have no desire to want to engage in the consequence of what that will mean.
Yeah.
And trust me when I say, my wife is the least reactionary person there is on the face of the earth. Mm. So it's not a case of the fact that it's her being too precious or too particular about me being able to articulate how I feel. It's just going, in those moments, feelings are the sorts of things that there's cause and effect. If I say this, someone that loves or cares about you is going to do this, mm. and vice versa. And I think it's just going, those words and beginning to test and play with those words force us to get into those situations where we can see that that understanding of where each other is at is actually far more important mm. than that sort of that awkwardness in the moment of going,
true, oh,
I've upset her, or yeah. I've upset my kids or whatever, and being able to refine how you do that. So it's going, yep, how do you communicate with your kids that you're sad or you're grumpy, and in a way that acknowledges the feeling but doesn't project it onto your kids as, mm. well, now dad's feeling sad or grumpy or whatever, and now I have to tread on eggshells. And I think that's a really fine art that can be learned, but more than anything else, you have to step down the... or on the journey of beginning to test and play and experiment with those words to figure out where you sit and how other people around you sit.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. That's...
Look, man, I think what's interesting is that you open up this chest of dad.
Yeah.
And it's so complicated that you understand why potentially our fathers never had these conversations with people.
Oh, exactly.
You know, even with themselves, you know, yeah. It was just like, I don't know why I'm feeling that way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just...
That's just what it is.
You just get on with it, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And I guess at some stage, I do sometimes think that way at times, you know? Like, I think, man, why am I so grumpy? Is it the moon being too close to the earth?
Yeah.
Could be. Is it that I am dehydrated? Is it that I'm frustrated with something? It's probably... All of them, right? Yeah. And part of the tool set is, it's like what you were saying about, you know, with the people closest to you, sometimes we're the most removed.
Yeah.
And it must be because, you know, through culture, making a good impression with a stranger was very important. Because if you weren't part of the team, or if you were, you know, you had a couple of minutes to make an impression. And it's still the same, right? Mm. When you go for a job.
Yeah.
You don't know that person, but I bet on the days you've had job interviews, you're prepped to give that person 3 minutes of your best.
Mm.
You know? And I just want to challenge that a bit. And I'm lucky enough to have a bit of a bossy wife who has challenged me.
Mm.
You know? She said to me in multiple times, why are you so nice to everyone on the internet?
Yeah.
And you're such a bastard to me, you know? And apart from being in a scrap at the time and saying, oh, that's not true, like, part of it was true, you know? It's, and that's my kind of one thing I'd preface with the online world, is that we want to give so much of our best side to that, but just pin a little bit back for real life. And something like working on your emotional vocabulary, I think, is one of those ways. You know, like, saying I love you in multiple ways is a version of that, but your emotional vocabulary is words like, you know, I don't know, is words like, hey, let's work that out together, is words like, I'm really struggling, can you give me 5 minutes on my own, you know?
And I was just going to say, picking up on the whole I love you thing, and actually being able to get in touch with that and be able to say it and what have you, I think it's also really interesting because, what, again, I think for me, and I can only speak from my perspective, I think what that does is it exposes you to having to acknowledge the reciprocation of that as well, though. So it's one thing to be able to say, oh, this is why I'm feeling about someone else, but when you project that feeling onto someone, again, the cause and the effect coming back is that chances are, if you're, you know, you might, you're going to have to face up and front up to the fact that someone's going to say that back to you. And how often are we so awkward about that? And is that, is, you know, is that on some level because, you know, dare I say it, that so many dudes actually feel like they're probably unlovable because of the the raft of emotions and frustrations and kind of, you know, the animal inside, they sort of go, well, actually, what is there here to love? And so they remove themselves from the situation. I know for certain that that's what I did for a long time, was because if I'd even begun to think about projecting that onto someone, I knew that that would come back. And as much as the words going out were difficult, they were 10 times harder when they came back, and kind of being put in that situation where you go, all right, I'm not really sure what to do with this now, because I have to accept on some level that, wow, this person actually feels this way about me now. And I think the same thing goes for any of those emotions, whether it's, you know, I'm frustrated at you, well, you got to be prepared to accept that that frustration could bounce straight back. And emotions are the things that do, they cut to the core of how we see ourselves. But I guess it's that, how do you embrace the fact that, you know, on any given day, it's awesome, it's crap, it's somewhat tepid in between, and that's normal. And how do we sort of burst that bubble of, it's all supposed to be awesome, or it's all, it's just, it's crap and it's hard, and it's actually both of those things mashed together in some sort of weird emotional melting pot.
What it definitely isn't is a list of top five.
Yeah.
It's something way more detailed than that, and way more nuanced than that. And I think that's such an awesome place for us all as fathers to sit, because we sit in that space.
Yeah.
You know, today, chances are you are helping with the kids, then you're getting your butt off to work, you know, delivering for others, so you can deliver for your family at home, and maybe your wife is doing the same too. You know, this isn't a men should do this and women should do that. We're all out there grinding it out, you know. And I think kind of maybe somewhere nice to finish when you're talking, Greg, about, you know, scared about giving because you might receive. Maybe the emotional kind of vocabulary we should be asking ourselves for today is, you know, do I love me? Am I enough today? You know, in terms of, have I ever said that to myself?
Yeah.
Hey, how am I going? You know, and just kind of start really at that first level before we, you know, we always, maybe the instinct of this podcast was to talk about how we can worry about, you know, us and partners and vocabulary and these type of things and you know, emotions. But there's something to be said with, you know, make your own bed so that it's tidy.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a mental way, you know, like, how am I doing? Am I all right? Do I love me? If the answer's no, why?
Yeah.
And if I don't know, find someone who can help you.
Yeah, and I think, again, that was sort of the follow-up to Paul's point as well, was, you know, it's not, the object is not to be perfect, but it's to be able to get better.
Boom.
Each day. Iterate better and better, and I think, like you say, that starts with being able to look in the mirror and find on some level an acceptance of where you're at today. However good or bad your surroundings are, nothing and no one can take away the opportunity for you to get better today.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but you can, you have the option and the ability to do something better today than you did yesterday, and then tomorrow better than you did today.
Take that to the bank, dads, and bank that check. Greg, just before we wrap up,
hello.
We're sitting in our Havel H6.
Yes.
Let me just paint a picture. It's about 6:30 in the morning before two men go on radio to talk about fatherhood.
Yep.
We're sitting in a parking lot.
Yep.
The windows are steamy.
Yep.
What do you think others think?
There's
a whole lot of love going on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. You know what? There is a whole lot of love going on. So get on board the love train, baby. All right. Look, take it easy, dads. And I mean that. Take it easy on yourself when you need to. Be hard on yourself when you need to. But just, you know, far out, man. This is awesome. We've got the best job ever to be fathers. And just embrace that. And, you know, at a bare minimum, life's got your back. Because it makes your kids grow up.
Yeah.
So you'll get time back, even if, you know, if that's what you've thought or not, you win.
You're not in this perpetual state of parenting a 3-year-old.
Exactly. Imagine that. Imagine having this newborn who cries. It's like my newborn has been crying every time I hold her, and I'm working so hard to think you don't hate me.
Yep.
And that's so cool that I've already done this learning in the Rad Dads community, because this exact stuff has been asked.
Yep.
It's like, man, she gave me a smile this morning, refilled the love bucket.
Yep. With that, gents, as per usual, Rad Dads NZ on Facebook, raddadsnewzealand@gmail.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Rumor has it that we might be upping the Instagram game shortly, so keep an eye out on Instagram for that. And more than anything, just keep the conversation going, guys. We're just absolutely loving the fact that more and more guys are stepping up and stepping out and saying, look, this is what I think, this is how I feel. And I can't overstate it enough. Every time we see a comment pop up on Facebook about, you know, a dad's experience of what we're talking about, it literally, like, that for Will and I is why we do what we do. So thanks for being involved, guys. Looking forward to our next conversation.
Just one last thing.
Yes.
Back to steamy windows. It's like a scene from Titanic. Da, da. Okay, shotgun Bing Rose. Draw me. Right. See you, folks.
See you, mate.